Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody out there. This is Wayne Klingman talking about his home, Chateau Klingman. I'm located in great city of Racine, Wisconsin. Anyway, the best way to get a hold of me is by my email. The best way to get a hold of me, again, is by my email, and that would be wclingman@wi.rr.com. One more time, wclingman@wi.rr.com. You can also find the Chateau Klingman on Twitter. The simple at sign, Chateau Klingman, will find me on Twitter. Easy enough done. I usually follow people back, though I don't follow people back who are eggs or only say, buy my shit, those sort of things. But most of the people I follow back. Anyway, I apologize for the last time I did this show. Cut it off after 15 minutes. I must have either screwed up on when I set the time or it reset itself, which sometimes happens. I have ensured three times that it's set for the full half an hour. I don't know if I'll talk the full half an hour, but at least I have that much time allocated, which is, in fact, the maximum amount of time I can have for this level of engagement I have at Blog Talk Radio. I appreciate the fact that I can do the show for half an hour, and I plan to do the show for half an hour, because I have to use all the tools available to me in order to do the best job I know how to get the help I need so badly for my health. Well, no doubt about it. I got to do these things. And I was troubled because, as you may know, some of them who listen to this show know I'm interested in all kinds of things as you are. I'm interested from everything from my home, obviously, history of Racine, history of the home, Lake Michigan, the history of Lake Michigan, pirates, treasure hunting, all kinds of different topics. And what I used to do, I had horrible things on it, is I used to go and try to go and focus on those topics and do a Twitter for everything, those topics I was interested in. Maybe perhaps I'm out doing a blog on those topics. And you know me, I'm a horrible person when it comes to writing. So blogging quickly fell away. Podcasting, I can do more regularly. But again, you know, I stepped doing them as regularly as I could in some instances. So, again, I needed to figure something out. Because this show I do in my house, is critically important. It's by far more important than anything I have to do with my life. I mean, really, truly, I do Indie Film Wisconsin, which is a podcast I do in film. And I come up with the money to do an hour show on that because, well, that's not only a topic filmmaking that I make money, I can make money on, I have made money on. It's something I'm really interested in doing, and hopefully a way I can generate more money is by my stuff I do in film. But at the same time, this house is important to me. This house is critically important to me. Christ, it's where I live. It's where my wife will live after I precede her, more than likely, right? I have a duty, I have an obligation, I have a duty to make sure I do the best job I know how to ensure that she can keep the home, right? And it sounds like I'm whining, it sounds like I'm begging, I'm not. It's kind of emotional subject to me, as it would be for anyone. Therefore, that's why it might sound like I'm whining and begging, but again, that's not the point. Being more a little bit religious, which I try not to do in the show too much, is I will trust God and have faith that God will provide, right? I know I need to do what I need to do, no doubt about that. I need to get up each morning, I need to persevere, I need to try my best at all times, and trust in the fact that somehow, some way, that the Lord will do what he does, right? And that between my efforts and his efforts, it's a done deal. Sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's rough. I'm having two strokes and not being able to do some of the things I could easily do if I didn't have strokes, where I could climb a ladder, I could do this, I could do that. If I could climb a ladder, but I can't do that anymore because of my strokes, I could reattach some of the water spouts that's fallen down. I wouldn't have to pay get that done. Things like that, right? And that's off on a tangent, off on a diatribe, off on a rant, so I'll slow it down, and I apologize for that. But again, this is a very, very, very emotional topic for me. I hope you understand that. I assure that you do. So what we decided is, what can we do? I don't want to do a show once or twice in some of the Jeff way because it may not be the most interesting thing I can do and find excuses to do them. It's like, why don't I do this? My home, Chateau Klingman, by a family who has great links to Lake Michigan, right? Sailing ships. At one time, I suspect strongly that the owner of Chateau Klingman could walk down to the river, get on a rowboat, a small craft of some sort, and take the river down to his ship. Well, obviously, there's no piracy in Lake Michigan. There was at one time a little bit, but no piracy anymore. But why not also from time to time talk about piracy? Well, I can do that. Christ, it's my podcast. It's an interesting thing. We can talk about it. We can bring in interesting guests. The focus wouldn't be, obviously, on piracy, but an interesting guest a time or two to talk about it, I think would be smashing. And I know a couple of people who are interested in that subject, too, that would make great guests, right? Again, history. Again, we're talking history. We're talking piracy, which is obviously history, and something that I'm interested in. Something else I'm in is treasure hunting. I'm fascinated by that subject. And I'm convinced, well, many people in my neighborhood are convinced that the house that was once located across the street from where I live is the person who lived there before it was knocked down, buried treasure, buried some stuff that she had somewhere in the house, somewhere in the yard. Okay, why don't I try to find it, right? Why don't I try to find it? That would be treasure hunting. I mean, last year I made some dowsing rods, and I did some preliminary scouting, and I think I have a place to start. But mind you, it'd be interesting to look into, interesting what can be found. Again, that would be treasure hunting, something I could talk about the show from time to time, something that might be interesting to you guys, the audience. It does go well with the house because, again, it's a history subject, right? There's a lot of history involved. To be a successful treasure hunter, be it looking for lost naval ships, lost pirate ships, or Al Capone's safe that people still think is located somewhere in Chicago, or the hundreds of thousands of dollars that John Dillinger supposedly buried somewhere in northern Wisconsin, you have to have a sense of history. You have to do the research, things I'm into, right? I can talk about those things in the house as well, as part of the house podcast as well. And another subject that is of great interest to me, should be great interest to everybody, is preparations that we all need to be doing in case something happens, right? Back around 9/11, it became popular for a while to be prepared for a terrorist attack. Then, of course, the preppers and those doomsday preppers was on TV for a while, and there's other shows, a bunch of podcasts on that whole subject. I find that fascinating because far too many people think that no matter what happens, the government will be there for them. And aside to pursue down this road just for a bit, after 9/11, I got involved with the Red Cross teaching preparation classes for a while when I was still doing that. I quickly fell away from the Red Cross because, after all, it was, you know, who cares, right? Who cares? Nothing's ever going to happen, and people weren't really interested, so I quit doing it. And there was some political blowback from it because, well, I'm not quite sure why. I feel it was because people started losing faith in the government. The government can't have that. No matter what the administration was, this is back during Bush Jr., you can't have people not have faith. So those things go away. In fact, I'm the graduate of one of the last cert classes taught in Racine County, I believe, at least that's what I was told, because the state no longer funded it. Wait a second. The state no longer funded a cert class which taught me simple things I can do. Should something happen, right? Where I could help my family or help my neighbors out of potentially harmful situations. But we can't do that. We can't talk about that. We can't teach that because we get more important things to do with money. Yet, in my opinion, I think we would quickly find out that money spent in that investment pays back quickly. Going down the road a little bit more, Ms. River said to find out that during the class, we were told that Racine County of, city of, I'm sorry, county, I apologize once again. Racine City of, wrong way to say it, one more time. Racine County has never called out the CERT people to do anything, which is tragic because we're not going to be that, and we're not policemen. Nobody's trained to be policemen. But we could be trained to do traffic. We could sit there with our bright vests on, and we could help direct traffic. We could sit there with our bright vests on, and we could stretch parking, you know, during heavily used events, right? With our brake vest sign, we could sit there and look for a lost child, say, in the woods, which would be, you know, which happens from time to time. There's a wide variety of things that people with search training can be used, so police, fire, and other resources could be used more appropriately in other situations going on, right? But for whatever reason, we're seeing counties never use our search staff. I don't know why. But you have to talk to Dave Mack, who runs emergency management. Perhaps he would be able to tell you. In fact, I might even invite him on the show, talk about search training and other things. That might be an interesting topic to do. So we talk about being prepared. Because, you know, I live in northern Wisconsin. I live in southeastern Wisconsin. But we've had snow so much. A couple years ago, we had 17 inches of snow. And for 2 or 3 days, my wife and I were unable to leave the house. Well, it's fine. We had enough food in the house, we didn't have to. We had enough food, and should the power went out, and thankfully it didn't, or only briefly, we had candles. We had other things that we could use for lighting, for cooking, for other things that we might need. Our neighbors did not. Our neighbors had not. We had neighbors that had big problems right away because, well, after a couple of hours, they ran out of food. After the first 2 hours of the first day, they ran out of food, and they had no place to go to get any. And one side, people around the country who think that will never happen to them, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen. And we all know, again, living in Wisconsin, you know, we all hear this stories of what happens when a blizzard's predicted or severe weather's predicted, and how fast the grocery store is empty. To think that, I believe I read it in more than one case, I don't have a link to an article for you, but most of the grocery stores would be emptied within a couple of days of any major incident. What are you going to do then? What are you going to do? And to rely on the government to come and take care of you? How would that possibly be happening? How could, I live in Centerville, Wisconsin, we have about 60,000 people here. How does the government of the city of Racine, or for that matter, the county of Racine, take care of 60,000 people who might need food? Don't know. I don't think they do. How does the county of Racine take care of the hundreds of thousands of people that live in Racine County who might need food? Now, thankfully, Racine County is west of the eye is primarily farmland, but east of the eye is primarily urban environment. Well, how are they going to take care of those people? I mean, they can sit there and have all the plans that they want to, but when the shit hits the fan, right, what's going to happen? How are people going to do it? I don't know. That's why one of the reasons why my wife and I have a few days' worth of food, a few days' worth of water, right? Just in case something does happen, we can take care of ourselves. And we used to have better plans than we did, but things happen. And we haven't been unable to take the appropriate steps to come up with new long-range plans because, frankly speaking, in our situation, there are none. Things are pretty bad, pretty sorry shape in that situation. Other things we could talk on the show would be, you know, things like that. I know there's a couple of interesting guests. I know would do those, come on and be a good guest too. So really basic things that everybody should be able to do in their own home, just in case something happens, where a couple of days, they'd be okay, right? These are two of the shows, like with the shows in piracy, the history of the Great Lakes, and treasure hunting. I could talk about the show and still be focused on the house I live in, the history of the city and the home that I live in, and the whole nine yards. I think that would work out pretty well. I wouldn't be always talking about, oh, poor me, this is going on, or poor me, and that's going on. I need to do something about this. But the idea would be if I can create by story a compelling narrative about not only the history of the house, right, but the story of other interests that I have that features the house in some way, right? If I can create a compelling story, I think, therefore, I would then create a larger audience who could easily would be the wrong way, or the wrong word, I'm sorry, but could easily be asked to help, right? And that's the idea. See, the idea is, is what I can offer to people that they might want to contribute, say it's a t-shirt, maybe it's a bumper sticker, where people would be interested in getting, and that funds could be used to help fix the house. Apologize for the cough. Don't know where that came from. I expect you do as well. You see all kinds of GoFundMes and the like out there where people want help with this, that, and the thing. There's a lot of tragedy out there. There really is. There's people out there that need medical bills paid for horrific situations that they're in for themselves, their family members, right, their pets, or whatever, right? Will I do a GoFundMe? I don't know. But the idea would be, if I did a GoFundMe or not, I still need to create the compelling storyline. I need to create a story, right? Because everything is a story, on what's going on so people understand what's going on. If they have questions, they know how to get those questions answered. And they can follow the story along for their enjoyment, for whatever else feels. I think the story of Chateau Klingon, what goes on around here, I think the history of the Great Lakes, I think the history of piracy is all compelling stories. I truly do. And I think if I can relate that compelling story to other people who listen to this podcast, it goes a long ways to help me out in all so many situations. That's it. Now, the idea I talk about pitching to see, talking about if this gets more compelling to me to do it, or is this something not so much, is this. From time to time, I'm a poor writer, as I've made the excuse for many times. I've thought about the idea of doing a e-book or something that talks about the Chateau after shit hits the fan scenario of whatever it might be, and the steps we would take to survive and thrive and the whole nine yards, right? And we would talk about everything, about what happened in the neighborhood, what happened in the city, what happened to this area around the city, and the like, as a compelling story, you know, a compelling e-book that people would buy for a couple of bucks would help fund the home repairs that we need so badly. I'm thinking, well, I'm a poor writer, and I would find excuses to quit writing quickly. Could I tell it in a podcast? Could I create a podcast called Chateau Klingon, right? Right. Or Chateau Klingon, The Aftermath? I'd have to work on a title. But we would do the story of where something would happen, the shit hits the fan scenario, unless the electromagnetic pulse, which seems to be pretty popular in the press, or a terrorist exploding a nuclear weapon, say, one in Chicago, one in Washington, D.C., and one in San Francisco, someplace on the West Coast, the chaos that would bring about, and how we would survive, thrive, and continue on our ways dealing with those tragic events, because it would be pretty tragic. I mean, I can't imagine the chaos, and God forbid it happens. God forbid, I'd rather not see it. But let's say that ISIS, the three of us know, Iraq lost an awful lot of nuclear material, signed South Dream Bomb in Washington. We also know that Iran, well, for whatever reason, is working on nuclear weapons. Let's say a terrorist gets a hold of one somehow and decides to set one off in Chicago or Washington, D.C., you know, what would all happen? What would happen if the rogue state, North Korea, successfully launched a couple of nukes here in the United States, one way or the other, or set off an MP device? What would happen then? What would happen then? Again, wouldn't it be the event itself, and the event would be talked about, but the idea would be, something has happened, things as we know it has went away, how do we persevere through it, right? What do we do? It'd be interesting to talk about. I think you can make it a compelling story. I don't know if I can make it a compelling written story, but I think I can make it a compelling spoken story. And it would be like some of the podcasts you hear, which are really good radio theater with sound effects and actors coming in doing different voices, being different characters. Well, this may be me basically going over a diary sort of format. It would be much shorter than a half an hour, probably 15 minutes. It would set up to the time of what was going on before the incident would happen and what went on afterwards for a while, right? I think I could do that. I'm going to be thinking about that. And maybe as part of that, that's when it would bring in people talking about preparations, right? What we can do to be prepared, because, you know, I don't know if we're going to see something like a nuclear event happen. I do know that we see in going to see some civil unrest. There's going to be some civil unrest today in Madison, Wisconsin. There'll be more of that for whatever reason. And we have a right to protest. We absolutely have a right to protest what we don't like. You know, what it is, we have a freedom to assemble. We have the freedom to address our complaints to our government leadership, right? All that good things. And I'm glad that people are taking those steps for civil disobedience if it comes to it. I'm all for civil disobedience, especially when people understand that if I'm going to protest whatever by laying down on the street to block a traffic flow, I should expect to be arrested and live with a consequence. But civil disobedience is a good thing. Being able to sit there and stand up to power and speak truth to power is a good thing. You know, civil disobedience. I don't mean stone throwing. I don't mean rack throwing. I don't mean none of that stuff. I don't mean vandalism. I don't mean doing stupid things. I mean civil disobedience, protesting signs, you know, sitting down and getting up, you know, locking yourself, say, to city hall doors, things like that. But again, if you're going to do things like that, you should expect to be arrested, right, and suffer the appropriate consequences. All there is to it. But I think we'll see some of that this summer, spring and summer. Actually, we're going to see a lot of it. I think the closer we get to elections and more people get upset, I think we'll see some. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm thinking we'll see some rioting, right, because people are pretty pissed off. I think one of the reasons why Donald Trump is getting so much traction is many of my conservative friends are tired as hell, very, very tired, and they see voting for him saying F off to the government, especially F off to the GOP. There's a lot of us going to the GOP. When I talk to my friends, it's like, well, they know where to get a hold of me when it's time for them to get a contribution. But when I need help, they're nowhere to be found. And I see them vote the same way that Obama wants them to vote. What the hell are they doing? I hear that a lot. So I can understand the appeal of Trump to these people. But we'll see what happens. Other things going on with the House. Again, I apologize that the show got cut off halfway through. He didn't do it now because I only have a few minutes left. The show times. I'm thinking I would do the show on the House itself, history and the like, each Friday morning. Net so people could call in, because I don't usually take call in questions, but simply let you know that this, if you want to listen to it on a Friday, if you want to listen to the show when it's live, this is how you do it. And if I do have a guest on, it would be set to those times. So hopefully it's set to those times so people could listen live, you know. But again, I usually don't take call-in guests for the simple reason that in the past, especially for my film podcast, when people would call in, sometimes have idiots that call in and have no effective way to screen those calls. It just becomes a painful experience for me, a painful experience for my guests. I'd rather not put up the shit. Other things going on about the House. Well, it's my favorite time of year, early spring, right? Where the day will be 32, 33 here. Tomorrow it's going to be the 50s, which means the snow will melt, and my backyard will be a sea of mud. And it happens. And for the next few days, next few weeks, my dogs will be covered in mud. They will no longer be gray and white Malamutes. They will be black as with mud Malamutes. Fact of the matter. And we'll persevere. This will be kind of a dirty time for the dogs. It'll be a messy time in the backyard. We'll just persevere and go on. Probably in a couple of weeks, it'll be March. I'll probably have the cold frames up. And probably thinking about what kind of cold crap I can grow. Spinach or parsley. We're going to try that early up first because the rabbits eat them. That's a good way. The seeds are cheap. It helps us keep the rabbits fed and healthy, and the rabbits doing their job by doing a lot of pooping. That rabbits do best, which allows us to do really cool stuff with the manure, especially with some of the lots that we're using for gardening areas this year, which have porous soil, horrific clay problems. It will help mitigate those situations. Anyway, I appreciate people listening. I appreciate you giving this show a chance. Again, if you'd like to send me an email. My email is wclingman@wi.rr.com. If you'd like to contribute in any way, shape, or manner, and form to continue situations with the Chateau, please, please, please contact me by email, and we'll figure out how we can best work together to create a situation that you may want to donate into. Yeah, that's about all I have for the time for today. I'll talk to, I have a friend who's an acting coach down there in Kenosha. It's a really cool acting school called Actors Craft. Check it out. I'll be calling her, discuss what can I do about my voice, my stroke, and maybe she might have some ideas what might work for that to overcome some of the vocal problems I seem to have when I talk a lot, other than shutting up. She might have some ideas on that. Again, her name of her school is Actors Craft down there in Kenosha, Wisconsin. If you do contact her, please, 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 please tell her that you heard about her school from the podcast I do in Chateau Klingman and from the host, me, Wayne Klingman. Anyway, that's all the time I have for today. I appreciate it. Any ideas and stuff you have on topics I talked about, please give me an email. You know, talk to me, send me an email, or follow me on Twitter. Again, my handle on Twitter is the @ at Chateau Klingman. Easily enough done. I usually follow back again. Talk to you all later. Have a great day. Bye-bye.